So back in 2010 and 2011, Snickers ran an award-winning series of ads. And in one of them, in the most memorable, there's a bunch of young guys who are all playing tackle football in this muddy park. And in the midst of them, there's an 88-year-old Betty White. And she's getting tackled left and right. She's fumbling the ball all over the place. And the guys all get in this huddle, and they're giving her a hard time. And then her girlfriend comes over and hands her a Snickers bar. And she takes a bite, and she transforms into another one of the young, muddy, athletic men. It feels a lot better. And the ad ends with a tagline, "You're not you when you're hungry." Now, as someone who lives in a house with an infant, a toddler, and a husband who all get quite irritable when they're hungry, I can attest to the truth of this tagline. So I think, can Esau? You know, we get a lot of introduction to the characters in Genesis here, this whole background explanation into the sibling rivalry between Isaac and Rachel's twins, Esau and Jacob. But the crux of the story here is basically that Jacob takes advantage of a desperately hungry Esau and tricks him into signing away his inheritance to his younger brother. And what's funny about the story is that it's heavily implied that Esau isn't actually about to die of hunger, as he claims. He just feels like he is. Esau's overreaction to his hunger is a pretty classic example of catastrophizing, imagining that this current moment's discomfort is forever, being unable to see anything but the worst possible outcome. Turns out both organizations and individuals can be susceptible to catastrophizing in moments of uncertainty and change. And like Esau, we too can be fooled into decisions that sacrifice our identity or our future in exchange for temporary relief from fear. If the stories of Genesis are all about faith, about trusting God's promises when all seems lost, then Esau's foolish decision to trade his birthright for a cup of soup fits as a cautionary tale. Let the anxiety of today overwhelm you, and you might end up giving away your future. If I were to name a story from Scripture that's the opposite of Esau and the red stuff, it'd probably be a bit from Elijah the prophet's story. Now, Elijah's just as dramatic as Esau. He runs away into the desert in the Book of Kings. He flings himself under a bush and prays to God to die. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." In response, God sends an angel who taps him on the shoulder and reminds him to take a nap, have a snack, and drink some water. And you know, Elijah does that. And he feels a lot better. He feels strong enough to journey to the mountain where in the midst of the wind and the earthquake and the fire, Elijah can hear the still small voice of God. There's this little raccoon cartoon that's been floating around the internet that I think about a lot. It says, "When you feel like everyone hates you, sleep. When you feel like you hate everyone, eat. When you feel like you hate yourself, take a shower." It is a simple reminder that taking care of your body and its needs is actually an important part of this business of loving God and your neighbor. You're not you when you're hungry. Compassion, mercy, faith, trust, all those good virtues are a heck of a lot harder. It seems obvious. And yet think of how often we construe faith as an act of will, a noble determination to rise above our physical and earthly circumstances. In doing so, we can often discount the straightforward importance of snacks and naps and water to faith. When you feel like you're in a spiritual crisis, Before you give in to all the worst possible scenarios your heart can muster up, I wonder what the equivalent of a snack and a nap and a glass of water might be for your soul. Perhaps a deep breath, a simple prayer, or just showing up to church. I wonder what the collective equivalent might be for a parish community. Eating some homemade meatballs together, sharing stories of our founders, singing our favorite songs. None of these will fix everything that's going wrong. But perhaps it's about giving and receiving just enough in this moment that we can once again see the bright possibilities ahead of us. You're not you when you're hungry. And these challenges you're facing, it's quite possible they are a catastrophe, and it's quite possible they are not. Whatever they are, enduring them, overcoming them, will need you. It will need you remembering who you are, what you are capable of, and the inheritance God has promised you. I am grateful to the people in my life who have been there for me in the moments when it really felt like my world was ending. Let me tell you what was helpful in those times. It won't surprise you. What was not helpful was being told to calm down, that I'm overreacting, or even that it will all be okay if I just have a little faith. Here's what was actually helpful in the moment. Bringing me a piece of chocolate, wrapping me in a hug, steering me outside and into the fresh air. Giving me just enough to return me to myself so that I can see the problems ahead of me with clarity, so that I can once again be grounded in the faith I need to face them. Reflecting on Esau's story this week made me see Jesus' parable of the sower in a new light. Now, the yield of the harvest, it's about the conditions of the soil in which the seeds are sown. And here's the thing. What if the sower doesn't just come by just the once? What if seeds of good news are continually being sown again and again throughout all our lives? What if we have more than just one chance to build up good soil so that whenever God's goodness comes by, we can let it sink in far enough to set down deep roots, the kind of deep roots that can weather the storms that blow through? Listen, I would not be here in robes and a stole if it had not been for so many others who took the time to help me clear away so many of my obstacles to faith. So what if it's not just about tending our tiny patch of soil? What if when we see those seeds over there on that path that are being snatched up by birds, we also have the responsibility to put up some scarecrows? What if when we see tiny stalks getting choked by thorns, what if we gather up a team of volunteers and get busy weeding? See, good soil doesn't just happen. Good soil takes tending to simple, individual, and communal needs. Needs like rest and nourishment, and the collective retelling of stories of past hard times endured. Feeding birds and scorching sun and choking thorns will come. Refrigerators and elevators break. Marriages end. Businesses fail. We all get hungry and overwhelmed and anxious. The question is not how we avoid or ignore temporary pain. The question is whether we let this afternoon's hunger trick us out of our inheritance. The question is whether we've built up strong enough community and deep enough roots to stay true to who God is calling us to be. Amen.